VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk on VCY America, and would just like to mention at the outset of the program today that some of the details that will be presented on the program today are graphic and will be disturbing. If you have children nearby, you may wish to get them involved in another activity outside the room, the room, and pick up and listen to the program later after that point, or listen to the podcast as we get into some critical, important issues. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a three-week-long preliminary criminal hearing that's been going on in the San Francisco Superior Court. It's not against a crime boss that has been caught. It's not against a notorious drug dealer, nor is it against the leader of a prostitution ring. On the contrary, this preliminary criminal hearing is against Sandra Merritt and her co-defendant, David DeLayden, the founder of the Center for Medical Progress. Why? Because of their undercover journalistic work, which exposed Planned Parenthood's trade in baby body parts. Well, their undercover work and undercover investigation was brought to light by way of released video, the horrific goings-on within Planned Parenthood. Sandra Merritt is being defended by Liberty Counsel. With us today is Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Matt, good to have you back with us here on Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be with you.
Well, the issue we're talking about today has a multiple-year time frame to it, and while we cannot go into it day by day, piece by piece, maybe you could just give a brief overview or a recap, a summary of what has brought out the wrath of the Attorney General of California against those who exposed some brutal practices within Planned Parenthood. Unfold it for us.
Well, what brought out the wrath of the Attorney General in California and also Planned Parenthood, because they've also got a major civil case that begins next month against Sandra Merritt and David DeLayden, is the fact that they got exposed about what they were doing. And what they were doing, what they have been doing, what they do, is they harvest baby body parts, they sell them to another entity, and that entity turns around and sells those again to other organizations, including Stanford University. That's some of the things that came out in the testimony in the last 3 weeks. But here's what happened. David DeLayden and Sandra Merritt recorded individual conversations in public places at different conferences and events, restaurants and so forth. People are milling about, going up to the tables, different kinds of things that are happening. In California, what the law is that you have to have both party consent, unless it's in a public place. If you have to have it in a public place where there's no confidential communication. And what has happened is the information, the testimony has shown that these have all been done publicly. And and one of them was done in an elevator with people in the elevator. And obviously, if you're carrying on a private conversation in an elevator and somebody steps in the elevator, you're going to stop the conversation and you're going to carry it on when you get off the elevator if you think that you want to be confidential and private. But in this case, the conversation was in an elevator, and the person was talking, and there's another person there unrelated to the conversation in the elevator. So that's one of the areas where a recording was done. Others were at restaurants. People came up to the table, and we can go into some details about that. And other conferences, people are milling about.
Trade shows,
lots of people around in near proximity, and the individuals who are recorded, one of them says, I didn't even care to lower my voice, and in fact, in one case, Sandra says, is my voice too loud? Should I lower it? And the person that is being recorded, no, you're fine. You don't have to. So there's no indication that they wanted to have these conversations private. And so they were recorded. And what was recorded is horrendous. What's recorded is this, and this is really what's come out in the testimony, but it's also in the videos. On a particular day, Planned Parenthood would get, say, for example, from Stem Express, one of the entities that they were selling body parts to, among others, they would get sort of an order. And the order would come because maybe Stanford University or some other entity wanted baby body parts, beating hearts, intact brains, whatever it might be. Then Stem Express would pass that, or someone else would pass it on to the Planned Parenthood abortion clinics. And that day, they would then be on the lookout for those particular body parts. So a woman would come in a late-term abortion, or whatever term that they're in, and they would be thinking not only about aborting that baby, but that baby has some valuable body parts. So we're going to protect the brain because we get more money for an intact brain. So we're going to not crush the skull on this little baby. We're going to decapitate the baby's head.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to extract the baby's beating heart, because they want to make sure that the heart continues to beat as it gets finally delivered to its buyer. And so they are going through an inventory list in the morning, selecting babies for their particular body parts. And the more intact the body part, the higher the sale price that can be. And so that's what's happening. It's kind of like you're in a, I don't want to compare it like this, but you're buying goods, and that particular day, you get, this is the order that the customers want, so you have to go out and get those particular goods in order to provide it to the customer who's going to sell, you know, you're selling to, and that's what's happening here with Planned Parenthood, and it is absolutely unbelievable and horrendous.
It's barbaric. I mean, okay, we've got an order for four livers today. You know, we need some eyeballs today. And that's literally what was going on, Matt.
That's what's going on. And so say a woman comes in and, you know, she might be struggling about whether to have an abortion or not. Well, you got some entity that's got a real bias. One, they're going to get money if she has the abortion. Two, if that particular baby's at the right age and has the right body parts, maybe it's a later term abortion, then they're going to get double money on that, additional money, because that is the particular body part that their buyer is wanting to have. If the woman, if the mother knew that her baby was being dismembered and that the parts of the baby were going to be sold, and some of those baby body parts would actually be put in catalogs where these things would be offered for sale, even specials of the month, believe it or not.
Mm.
I can't imagine that that woman, that mother, would want her baby to be dismembered for somebody's personal profit like that.
I understand there was even testimony given in which they had this fully intact baby in which they cut open the baby's face in order to harvest the brain.
That's right, yeah, and that's where they, and some of these babies are alive. I mean, I'm telling you, these are babies, this is as bad as anything you can imagine, where they're going to be cutting open the center of the baby's face or whatever it might be. Those are some of the videos that are on there that Sandra and David ultimately recorded of individuals who were involved either with Planned Parenthood or the procurement companies that bought the body parts or other people that were involved here. One of them is a late-term, now a retired abortionist. This particular individual actually was in a documentary in 2013 called After Tiller, and that was about a film featuring what they said was only four remaining doctors in the United States who openly perform late-term abortions. This was one of the persons. This person was on the witness stand within the last few days. Now, I'm sure that there's many others that perform late-term abortions, but these are people who are out and proud about it, and they really promote themselves as being these late-term abortion doctors. But there's more than just four in the country, but this is one of them featured in that documentary.
So, Matt, so what we have, Center for Medical Progress, Sandra Merritt, your client there, David DeLaden, they then released videos of their findings, their undercover journalistic work. And initially, they were accused of selectively editing these videos or altering content to give what accusers say was a distorted view of what took place.
Yeah, that's right. So what happened here is the testimony at one of them, they said, two things, like Doe 9, for example. Doe 9 said that she was shocked during the testimony recently that the video was released publicly. Shocked that it was released publicly. But then during a cross-examination by our counsel for Liberty Counsel.
Let me interrupt you just a moment. You said Doe 9. Are these witnesses? Are they being protected?
Yeah, these are 14 different individuals. They're charged with 15 felony counts. A felony is something that you can spend time in prison for at least a year or more. That's typically what a felony is. A misdemeanor is something less than that. So you can have jail time for a year or more and also fines. So these are felonies. These are higher crimes. And no one in California has ever been charged with a felony for violating this particular section of the statute. But what ultimately happens here is that the witnesses, these people, there's 14 of them. So they charged them with 14 counts because of 14 different people they recorded. Then they added a 15th count on it, which is a conspiracy to violate the law regarding these other 14. And so what the judge ultimately did is say they're going to be referred to by the name Doe, and they're going to be numbered. So they're Doe 1 through 14. And now and that was at the request of the Attorney General. The Attorney General didn't want the videos to be shown. Fortunately, that request was overruled, and the videos have been shown.
They wanted a gag order on it.
And then they wanted a gag order about once the trial started, they didn't want the media or us or anyone else saying anything about it. It's a hearing open to the public. The judge fortunately denied that, said it would be a violation of free speech. So these are Does 1 through 14. And this particular one is Doe 9. And Doe 9 is being interviewed in a restaurant. And Doe 9 is saying that she was concerned during the criminal preliminary hearing a few days ago, concerned that the tape had been made public. And then what happened is our attorney, Harry Mehet, cross-examined Doe 9 and gave Doe 9 a deposition testimony in which Doe 9 actually swore under oath 5 months ago in a separate lawsuit by Planned Parenthood against David DeLayden. And in that sworn testimony, Doe 9 said, I quote, "I haven't done anything wrong in the videos. It doesn't matter to me if they're released publicly," close quote. And that's the kind of lies that we caught them in throughout the entire time. On the stand, Doe 9 said, "Oh, I'm very surprised that it was released. I'm shocked by that." But 5 months earlier, now, before this trial, said, "Oh, I don't care if it's released publicly. No big deal." And that's the kind of witness that the prosecution has. There are a bunch of individuals who have now been, most of them, many of them, have been impeached for lying on the witness stand.
Yeah, and including Doe 9 is one that you tried to have this witness impeached?
Yes, Doe 9 was absolutely impeached, no question about it. And then
What does that mean when you impeach a witness?
Well, when you impeach somebody, somebody says, I wasn't, in this particular case, here's the impeachment. I'm shocked that the video was released. I had no idea. It violates my confidentiality. But wait a minute, you just said under oath 5 months ago, you didn't care if they're released publicly.
Okay.
It's a lie. You catch them in a lie, and that's what impeachment is.
Matt Staver is with us today on Crosstalk. We're talking about pro-life journalists battling felony charges. More on this case after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is any progress being made in cloning attempts?
Chris, there is a lot of work in cloning going on these days, but all is not so rosy in clone land. Often when clones are born, they exhibit diseases which normally are restricted to older specimens. For instance, Dolly the sheep, the first mammal cloned, died of old age about the same time as her mother died of old age. Recently, 4 cloned pigs all died of old age-related diseases within 6 months of being born. This should make us stop and think before cloning humans. Are we going to have elderly babies? It's not really known yet. There are a lot of good reasons not to go ahead with human cloning. This is just one of them. It's best to go back to Genesis and recognize that humans are created in the image of God and therefore deserve protection.
Visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Attorney Matt Staver is with us today from Liberty Counsel. They are representing Sandra Merritt, who is charged. Well, they had 15 felony charges trumped up against her for her journalistic work and uncovering the undercover investigation work of what was going on at Planned Parenthood, the sale of baby body parts, hearts that are pumping, certainly to go after whole brains and livers and other baby body parts. We're talking about this preliminary criminal hearing that has entered its third week right now in San Francisco, the Superior Court. Matt, we were just talking about Doe 9, this witness that was impeached, and this is Doe 9 who also, the accusations, you know, came about saying, hey, these videos are giving a distorted view, that they are edited. But Doe 9 seemed to substantiate the videos.
Yeah, Doe 9 actually admitted on the stand during our cross-examination that the video clips were accurate depictions of her conversations with Sandra Merritt and David Layden, and they were not edited or altered. They were actually the real thing. And that was the basis that Planned Parenthood, in a separate lawsuit, was able to use and convince a court to stop the further distribution of the videos, because they said, oh, these videos aren't accurate. They put all these edits in there, and that's not what the people really said. Well, no, these videos are exactly what these individuals said. They're not edited. They're not altered. And that came out during cross-examination in the last few days.
Wow. Now, Matt, help us understand. We were saying this is a preliminary hearing. It's been going. We're in our third week right now. So does this determine whether this goes forward or not, or is this going to determine guilt or innocence?
No, it determines whether it goes forward. In California, what you have is, before you go to a criminal trial, you have a preliminary hearing, and that's just the judge, not a jury. And in this particular case, the preliminary hearing is turned into as long as or longer than most jury trials in California. I mean, they're in a 3-week now. But the preliminary hearing is just before a judge, not a jury, and the judge then hears the evidence and makes a determination, is there enough evidence to go forward to present this case to a jury? If the judge concludes yes, then we go through a full-blown jury trial and all of this starts all over again in front of a jury. If the judge says no, the counts are dismissed, and that's where we are. So this is a preliminary hearing, but it is 3 weeks. Yeah. So, I mean, it's quite lengthy.
I understand some charges have been dismissed.
One charge has been dismissed. Doe 8 is a professor at a publicly supported university and was one of those counts, one of the 14 counts, Doe number 8. And Doe number 8 decided that Doe number 8 didn't want to be a part of the case and refused to show up to testify, so the judge ended up dismissing Doe 8. So now we're down to 14 counts before the judge even makes any additional ruling. So we're at 14 counts, 13 individuals still, with the 14th charge being the conspiracy. And here's the law. California has a law. It's called Section 632 under the California Criminal Code. It says that if you intentionally and without the consent of all parties record confidential communications, then that may be a violation of the law. And it's really important as to whether the conversations are confidential. That's a big deal, big deal. And let me kind of go into the Special Agent Caldwell, because it's very interesting. Special Agent Caldwell was hired originally by the State Attorney General Office, Kamala Harris. And that name ought to ring a bell to everybody. Mm-hmm. Kamala, of course, is now a U.S. Senator, a presidential candidate on the Democratic ticket. Kamala Harris was then the Attorney General. And she hired Special Agent Caldwell to be the lead investigator. And it was based upon the affidavit that Caldwell provided that they issued the arrest warrants for David DeLayden and Sandra Merritt and ultimately raided David DeLayden's personal home and his computers. Well, Special Agent Caldwell was on the witness stand, and during cross-examination, he said a number of things. Number one, he said he'd never investigated recordings under Section 632, never did it before in his entire history. Never had any training regarding that. He says he knew the definition of what a confidential communication was under the statute, but he left out And here's another legal term, exculpatory information in his arrest affidavit. What's that? When this person provides an affidavit, it's based upon alleged facts. Those alleged facts then get presented to the Attorney General and later to a judge. The judge reviews those facts based upon sworn testimony of the investigator and determines whether an arrest warrant is appropriate. Now, obviously, if the facts are not right, the judge doesn't have the full record. So exculpatory information means that what they're required to do is put any information in the affidavit that doesn't fit their narrative, that goes against their narrative. Well, what's the thing that would go against their narrative? Well, the issue is, were these conversations confidential? That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what he did. He put in there that he interviewed one particular Doe, and the Doe said, yeah, the conversations, they thought they were confidential. What did they leave out? That the conversation took place in an elevator with other people present that are not related to the conversation?
Mm.
It's a big deal.
Sure is.
That means the conversation's not confidential. Those kinds of things were left completely and intentionally out of the affidavit, and it's that basis that ultimately was presented to the judge that resulted in the arrest warrants.
Matt, you've made a statement that says this: each day of the hearing reveals that this case is frivolous and should be dismissed immediately. The state of California has abused the legal process by prosecuting Sandra Merritt when she did nothing wrong. Matt, how has California abused that legal process?
Well, here, right here, I mean, just like with the special agent Caldwell, that's an abuse. I mean, prosecutors have to show both sides. They can't just go in there and just show one side, because there's a proverb from the book of Proverbs that says this: he who states his case first seems right until another steps forth and challenges him. Well, a prosecutor has to be objective. A prosecutor has a lot of power in their hands to bring, in this case, the weight of the entire state of California against a citizen of that state, of the country. And so when they present an affidavit sworn under oath by their lead investigator to a judge and say, now, judge, based upon this, give me an arrest warrant. We want to indict. They've got to be able to present the good, the bad, and the ugly. They've got to present both sides. They've got to present information that goes against them. They've got to present that to us as defendants. Well, we didn't even know that Special Agent Caldwell knew about the recording in the elevator but didn't put it in the affidavit, and certainly the judge that granted the arrest warrant didn't know that as well. But Caldwell knew it, and the prosecutor should have put it in there. But that's the kind of thing where they've abused the process. Number one, they've never in the history of California cited anyone, indicted anyone, for violation of Section 632 for the recording statute. Never in the history has that ever happened to a journalist ever since the founding of California. Second, now they've come after these individuals, and their case just seems to fall apart because these individuals have testified that these recordings were in public places. Their agent has actually admitted that one of the recordings was in an elevator, meaning that it's not confidential.
Mm-hmm.
So they are just using the bully ability of the government to come after two individuals. And here's another thing. This just happened yesterday. In fact, as we're speaking, our expert witnesses may be on the stand as we speak, but today is the day for one of our expert witnesses. One of our expert witnesses was advising David DeLaden on scientific issues, not on recording, didn't even know about the fact that these conversations would be recorded, didn't know until they were actually released, but was just giving David DeLaden scientific expert opinion about the scientific areas involved in what was going on. So that person was going to be called yesterday as a witness. And just before the person was going to be called, the Attorney General Prosecutor's Office said and threatened to our clients that if she goes up on the stand, this expert, this medical, the science professional, goes up on the stand and testifies, we will indict her. Now, that's intimidating and interfering with witnesses. Prosecutors can't intimidate a witness any more than a defendant can threaten a witness. But the prosecutor now is threatening the witness with indictment if she testifies.
Was this done verbally? Was it in writing? How was this?
Yeah, it was done verbally, and so we had to tell the witness. Fortunately, the witness said, I'm going to go ahead and testify anyway. Hasn't done anything wrong. The witness, they were going to indict this. They're threatening to indict this science witness, this professional expert, on a conspiracy to commit all these crimes with David DeLayden, these alleged crimes. And yet this person is simply someone who provided expert scientific opinions regarding the substance of what was going on, not about recording, and had nothing to do with and had no knowledge about the recording. So how can you be someone who is conspiring to violate the law? This is just outrageous. In all of my years, I've never seen a government prosecutor try to intimidate a witness like this. The only reason that they did this is they want the witness to be silent, and they're hanging over an indictment over the witness's head. And good for the witness who said, I'm going to testify anyway. But can you imagine getting up on the witness stand with the prosecutor sitting there behind the table glaring at you, wanting to hang on every word you say, and then threatening the fact that you will be indicted with some kind of criminal action for something you didn't do anything wrong? I mean, that's exactly what's happening, and that's the depths of the lowest of the low of the California Attorney General's office.
Man, do you believe that this whole case is just politically motivated?
There's no question that it's politically motivated. I mean, Kamala Harris and now the Attorney General, Xavier Becerra, they're both in the pocket of Planned Parenthood. Both of them received thousands and thousands of dollars in campaign contributions. In fact, the current Attorney General, Becerra, is pictured giving a press conference statement behind him are Planned Parenthood supporters and a big sign, I stand with Planned Parenthood. That's the prosecutor. That's the attorney general. And we also know that something that came out in this hearing is that Planned Parenthood communicated with the attorney general before they raided David DeLayden's house. Planned Parenthood said, I want the computers. I want David DeLayden's personal computers on which these videos were ultimately stored. And so they told the attorney general, I want specific things from David DeLayden, and then they issue this arrest warrant based upon false information, and they go in and they raid his house and take his computers. He doesn't even have all that information back yet. It's still in the hands of the prosecutor.
Matt Staver is with us here today on Crosstalk, and ladies and gentlemen, one would think that it would be Planned Parenthood that would be under the microscope, but instead the tables have been turned. It is the messenger instead now who has revealed through undercover investigation, through journalistic work, exactly what is going on at Planned Parenthood when they're talking about the harvesting of baby body parts. One of the workers saying, look at this, and poking a heart to see it start beating once again. Folks, it's outrageous, it's gruesome, it's barbaric, and hearings are going on this very week. So where do things happen from here? Matt Staver will address that issue after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
How is your marriage relationship? Do you have a spirit-filled marriage? Is your marriage one in which the lost world can look in and see Christ represented? Many of us know that we are called to have such a marriage, but fail to make it happen, perhaps due to lack of knowledge on the topic. In the booklet, What Does a Spirit-Filled Marriage Look Like?, biblical counselor Susan Heck draws principles from the book of Ephesians. She presents 13 doctrines that guide a marriage that will bring glory to God. You'll learn about humility, forgiveness, generosity, unity, and much more. You'll also learn not only to know these principles, but how to grow them in your marriage relationship. VCY is offering one copy of this booklet for a donation of $6, 5 copies for a donation of $24, or 10 copies for $42. Just call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, we have some pro-life journalists that are battling felony charges as we speak. This preliminary hearing, this criminal hearing, going on now in its third week. Representing Sandra Merritt is Liberty Counsel. Matt Staver is with us, who is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Matt, let me ask about the testimony that's come forth in these preliminary hearings. Was there any denial or a refutation made as to the content of the videos, that what they said was false, that they're not really engaging in sales, or that these were not intact babies, et cetera? All the contents that these videos provided, is there a denial of that?
No, there's no denial of it. I mean, it's pretty obvious what they have been involved in, and in fact, it's quite shocking. Let me give you one example. Doe 12. This is another Doe 12. This is a person who is a procurement technician, tissue procurement technician. They use these terms, but they're harvesting baby body parts. Doe 12 was a tissue procurement technician for Advanced Biosciences Resources, responsible for collecting and harvesting baby body parts from Planned Parenthood. And in her sworn testimony, Doe 12 admitted that when a fetal brain is able to be harvested, it is because the baby's head may still be attached to the body after being pulled out of the womb. And when confronted with her statements on undercover videos about shipping intact cases, she did not deny that Stem Express harvests and transfers unborn children from completely intact abortions. Also, Doe 12, when questioned about Stem Express's connection with the studies that require a beating heart, she hesitated, didn't want to say, didn't want to respond. The judge demanded an answer, and she reluctantly said, yes, we have provided heart tissue to Stanford University.
So there's no denial that they harvested aborted babies' hearts even while they're still beating.
That's right. Yeah, and yeah, that was the question. The question was about requiring a beating heart to the entity that they were selling them to. And of course, the person didn't want to answer. The judge demanded it. She said, "Yes, we have provided heart tissue to Stanford." So we're talking about baby hearts that are still beating. How can a baby's heart still be beating? That means that when it was removed, that baby's heart was beating. These are hearts that are kept beating until they arrive, apparently, at the recipient buyer so that they can use that heart for some kind of research. So Stanford University, a publicly supported university, obviously was, and other universities and other places, they were buying these parts of babies from Stem Express or other entities and so forth. They're buying these parts, and they're selecting, they're demanding that they have, you know, an intact brain, beating hearts. And so that's how that information gets transmitted to the middleman who's making lots of profit, in this case Stem Express. And then that middleman, the person, the entity that sells it, purchases it from Planned Parenthood, then turns around and sells it, then goes to the Planned Parenthood abortion clinics and puts out the request. And then Planned Parenthood looks for those baby body parts, selects them, harvests them, provides them to their buyer, and then they go on to sell them. And Stem Express, by the way, there's another lawsuit that happened. This was in a prosecutor's office, a local prosecutor, not the state. State wouldn't touch us. But a local prosecutor in a more conservative area of California came after Stem Express. And they found in their investigation that Stem Express was creating body part catalogs, like you would make for any kind of auto parts or home decor. And you would have body parts with the price that that body part would cost. And then they ran specials of the month. Whether it be brains, intact brains, or whatever it might be, they would run specials of the month. And what they found is some of these body parts they were selling at 700% profit. And, of course, Stem Express has had to pay now millions of dollars as a result of the prosecution coming against it. So what we find is a couple of exceptions to the recording process. Number one, these recordings were not confidential. They were done in public places. Number two, David and Susan, Sandra Merritt, they believed that there was illegal activity going on, and obviously that's already been proven because these entities that were getting the body parts from Planned Parenthood, some of them are bankrupt or on the verge of bankruptcy because they had to pay millions and millions of dollars in fines for their illegal activity.
Matt, we keep hearing how much Planned Parenthood cares about women. These women going in, do they know that this is about what they're ready to do to their babies?
I doubt it. I can't imagine that they do, that they would know. I mean, can you imagine? You come in, and they say, we're going to extract your baby intact so that we can ultimately provide it for research. And we're going to sell it, and it's going to be sold again on the market for a significant amount of profit, and it may end up in some laboratory somewhere. Or we're going to extract a full, intact head. So we're going to make sure that we decapitate your baby. Or alternatively, we want to be able to extract a complete beating heart. So we're going to have to extract the heart from your baby while it's still beating. Can you imagine? There's no way Planned Parenthood says that.
Yeah,
there's no
yeah.
way that they get consent. You know, if you are someone who is dying, or you're a relative of someone, and you might want to donate their heart or their kidney or their bone marrow to be able to transplant, you have to have consent for that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting the consent. They have no idea that these babies, they have no idea that the people in that room are looking at this baby that they're ready to kill and torture and butcher, that they're looking at the baby as a commodity so that they can not only kill it and remove it from this mother, but that they can take and carve up its parts of the body to sell it for profit on the open market.
Matt, where do things go from here? You're in the third week right now of a preliminary hearing. What happens next?
If all goes according to what we anticipate today, we should be concluding the preliminary hearing today in terms of the court presence. Then what the judge has required is closing written statements. Now, we don't know whether we'll be able to get everything done today because the harassment that may ultimately continue today of our witness, but that's the plan. It'll either conclude in court today or tomorrow, and then we have to give written closing arguments, and then we wait for the judge's ruling, and we don't know how long that'll take. So keep Sandra in your prayers. Keep all of our legal team in your prayers. This case is incredibly expensive. You talk about just hotel rooms and transportation and then ordering the transcript every single day. Every day we're ordering a transcript. It's going to be costing at least $1,000 or more, just
wow.
the transcript. Thousands and tens of thousands of dollars are piling up in this case, and we haven't even gotten to the 4 to perhaps even 8 week civil trial that begins next month regarding Planned Parenthood's multimillion dollar suit against Sandra Merritt and David Layden.
Wow. Well, folks, you can get engaged even in helping with this at lc.org. Is that the best way, Matt?
Yes, lc.org is the best way to go.
lc.org. And this is a massive case here. And let me ask you this, Matt. What are the implications? What's at stake with this?
Well, for Sandra, certainly, and David, what's at stake in the criminal side is that they could spend time in jail. If they were ultimately to lose this case, they could spend time in jail and they could lose everything, all of their resources, property, all the things they've worked for their whole life, and spend time behind bars and be away from their children and grandchildren. That's just in the criminal case. And the implications on the criminal case, also for journalists and free speech, First Amendment across the board, is significant. And that's why the LA Times editorial board, when this first came out with the indictments, they blasted the attorney general because of the implications that it'll have across the board for any journalist. Now, in California, we know, yes, the implications would be for every journalist, but again, it's up to the prosecutor to bring a charge or not. And Obviously, if Planned Parenthood were doing the recordings, you can bet that the state would not come after Planned Parenthood. But the implications are very significant, and the implications outside of California could be a ripple effect of these other states that are very similar in their corruption, like New York, for example. New York has an attorney general that abuses the process as well against pro-lifers that were involved in a case right now, or where they have put very unbelievable people on the witness stand to try to intimidate them into silence. So there's other states that would follow in the footsteps of California if this is successful on the criminal side. Now you move over to the civil side, and the implications are enormous. The fines could be in the millions and millions of dollars, including attorney's fees, literally bankrupt them. And the implications of that across the board would be huge, because no doubt a case like this would go up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, maybe even higher. But the implications of this for free speech and journalists around the country, particularly pro-lifers, is incredible.
Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. Ladies and gentlemen, you may have a question regarding this case. Now in its third week of the preliminary hearing, the judge making determination whether there's sufficient evidence to go forward to the next level of court. But it's preposterous. I mean, it's just outrageous what is taking place here. And in fact, when we have an organization that's been exposed for what they're doing to this innocent human life, and Matt, it seems like everything's just, they're off the hook. They're just scot-free for what's going on here.
Yeah, you know, we see a double standard in the United States, and I think, frankly, the people are really getting tired of this, and that is, the double standard is people that are out there openly, brazenly committing crimes, ignoring the law, they don't get charged because the political people in high places don't bring the proper legal action against them. Sometimes even people that are there that are decent people are intimidated about bringing proper legal action. On the other hand, you have people like Sandra Merritt that did nothing wrong. David Layton did nothing wrong, did not violate any law. And yet now we're in this multi-week, highly expensive, various kinds of criminal and now civil litigation, all designed just simply to use the legal process of the state power to intimidate them into silence. So I think people are just really, frankly, tired of this double standard. I know I am. And it's about time that it stops. We need justice for all. The law ought to be colorblind. It ought to be neutral. And it ought to be equally applied to all people.
Matt Staver is with us today from Liberty Counsel. We're just seconds from the break, so we'll pick up our first call after the break. Our number here, 800-733-9829. This case is costing into the thousands of dollars for Liberty Counsel. Their point of contact is lc.org. That's lc.org. Or by calling them at 407-875-1776. We're going to take the quick break. We'll come back to your phone calls here on Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, it's outrageous in my book here, and to see what's going on in the name of choice, and that's what this is all about here, folks. How can we continue to allow this to take place in this nation? Back in 1 minute, this is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. America is under siege. Many experts, including Dr. Peter Pry, has declared that World War III started in the summer of 2018 when Russia attacked our power grid, hacking into our system. We have Dr. Kevin Freeman declaring we are already in World War III when it comes to economic warfare. Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa have formed their own banking system and are going after the American dollar. In fact, he did the Pentagon research for how, well, the crash of 2008 occurred, which involved foreign entities going after our stock market and Fannie and Freddie Mae. My friends, Americans need to wake up to the worldview war waging in America. We invite you to visit SiegeTheMovie.com and watch a free trailer. SiegeTheMovie.com. You're being given a lot of fake news, and Americans need to awaken to the fact that this is a worldview war, a spiritual battle at its very foundation.
It's God that creates life. Scripture says that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. And yet we have individuals exposing that who now are facing felony charges themselves. Let's go to the phone lines. Colleen is calling from Venice, Florida. Colleen, you're on the air with Attorney Matt Staver.
Hi. I just wanted to say I really appreciate all that both of these programs are doing and all the efforts that you're putting into this. For anybody who is doubting the actual sale of body parts of babies, I checked a library book out many years ago, and I've held on to a flyer that fell out of the book, and it was horrifying. It was apparently somebody checked it out, tucked that in there, and forgot about it, but I still have it. And it is a detailed list from a company that harvested baby parts and sold them with prices. All of these baby parts with heads and torsos and eyes, individually listed like a grocery list with prices on them. I just could not believe it and didn't know what to do with it, but it is a legitimate flyer, and I have a friend who works in a crisis pregnancy center who was aware of it also and recognized this company and said that they were still in operation. I'd be happy to, I don't know what to do with it, but it just shocked me beyond belief.
You can, I don't know if you're able to email that or not, but if you're able to screenshot it or email it, you can do
Or send a photocopy in the mail to you
A photocopy, yeah. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
Okay.
Our email is right there, plus our address is there. You can, if it's a brochure, send it by mail to us.
I'll do that. I will do that.
And send
I've held
attention.
On to it. This was 1996, I believe it was, and I've held on to it ever since.
Wow. Thank you, Colleen.
I will get that to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go to another Colleen, this one from Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. Colleen, you're on the air.
Hi. Just a few years ago, there was an owner of I think he was an NBA team, and his girlfriend recorded on her cell phone a racial slur that he made, and he got the team taken away. Nothing was said negative at all about her and recording this.
Matt,
and I think it was California, but
okay.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, things do change from state to state as far as law.
Yeah, they change from state to state. Some states, it's a single party. In other words, if you're the one recording it, you don't need the other person's consent. Some other states are multiple parties, so you need to have the consent of all people that you're recording. And California is one of those. But on the other hand, think of California. Think of all the media that's out there. Think of all the undercover investigations, environmental investigations, you know, animal abuse, which is a big one that went out there where they did undercover. The requirement, one of the requirements is that the conversation has to be confidential. So, like, if you're in your house, obviously you think that that's confidential, it's just you and someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're at a restaurant, I mean, think about yourself at a restaurant, and your table is right beside other people, and that's where some of these are. And they're moving around, and the waitresses are coming and going. Those conversations can be overheard by people, and you know that. If you're in an elevator, you know that someone can hear it if they're right there in the closed elevator with you. So those are not confidential.
Conferences, trade shows, I mean, they're out there in the open.
Trade shows, they're out in the open. You're out walking around. People can hear you. The exhibitors can hear you. These were exhibitors. Some of them were. And so they know all of this is being talked about, and people can hear you. If you wanted to have a real confidential communication, you say, let's go have this conversation privately somewhere. Just you and me. We'll go into, you know, a corner of a place. That's not where these things happen. They were out in public locations.
Thank you, Colleen. Let's go to Robert next in Port Charlotte, Florida. Robert, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a quick question. How can we, as individuals, help?
Good question. Well, obviously, I mean, and it's not cliché-ish, but pray is number one, no doubt about that. But also, you can go to lc.org, and we actually have a website or a specific page, lc.org/Sandra. lc.org/Sandra. And it's also on the scrolling icon on the lc.org page for Sandra Merritt. You can go there to learn more about it and help us financially, because the case, as I mentioned, is enormously expensive, and it doesn't matter, you know, what the amount of contribution is. Anything helps. I mean, this is a critically important case, and it's a very, very time-consuming and very costly.
Thank you, Robert. So lc.org/Sandra. We're going to get one further call in. Tom in Port Wing, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a question for Matt. Based on the depravity of man, are there any legal precedent for this type of activity that you could go back on and demonstrate that this type of activity is totally unacceptable, what's happening?
Yeah, and we're planning to do that with regards to the prosecutor, especially on these recent tactics that the prosecutor did yesterday. I mean, it is really problematic. It's very much a concern as a constitutional issue to intimidate and to interfere with a witness, and that's exactly what the prosecutor did yesterday and what they have been intending to do today. This whole thing is an abusive process, so we're planning as we move through here and we're keeping track of all of our time because we believe that they ought to be responsible for all of the time and expenses, and this case ought to be dismissed.
Wow. Tom, thank you for the call here today. We're out of time. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel, as they are representing Sandra Merritt and their counsel in court here even today on these critical matters. And Matt, it's hard to fathom that we've gotten to this level in our country that it's not the ones who are doing such atrocities that we have the that's committing the offense. Rather, it's one who's exposing the evil works of darkness here.
Yeah, it's the one who's exposing the evil works of darkness, and darkness doesn't like it, and that's why they want to silence them, and that's exactly what this whole case is about. That's why it's an abuse of the process, and it's politically motivated. It has no basis in law or fact. It's just simply heavy-handedness, bully tactics, intimidation, trying to silence the truth because they don't want the public to know what Planned Parenthood really does.
lc.org/Sandra, lc.org/Sandra. You may also contact Liberty Counsel at 407-875-1776. Matt, again, we thank you for representing life and representing the truth and integrity of our law and Constitution and in your defense of Sandra Merritt.
Thank you. God bless.
And thanks so much for joining us here today on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, be praying. Be praying for their team at Liberty Counsel as this matter continues on in the courts. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.